If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And man, has the bye week been nice. Now, did all the games go the way that the 49ers wanted them to go? No. In fact, the NFC picture got tighter. literally, the Bears lose and go from first seed bye week to seventh seed. Last team in the playoff picture, and with the Lions winning, all those things, it actually is more congested after this week's game. Now, you still have the Monday Night Football game, but that's not going to involve the NFC playoff picture. But you're talking about the 49ers finally getting rest. They've had 5 days off. They are currently practicing a quote-unquote bonus practice after 5 days off. Tell me how beautiful that is for a 49ers team that, leads the NFL in injuries and, payroll on IR and games missed and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Finally getting a break. It is important. It is very, very important. So we're going to be talking about all things NFC. I want to be talking about how the 49ers and every single team, whether high school, college, NFL, divides their seasons into bite-sized chunks or quarters. Update, we now have the first quarter completed, second quarter completed, third quarter completed. What needs to happen to that fourth quarter? Talk about players that could be returning, and even want to get into a little bit of Titans talk, which they've only won 2 games this year, but they are coming off their most recent victory over. Man, they scored 30 points for the first time this season. So a lot of stuff to talk about there. Upcoming schedules, you name it. Look at agency first in the chat today. Says, last 4 weeks, let's go. I think that it is just a big deal when you look at what the 49ers have put themselves in place for. What they have put themselves in place for. Everything is on the table. Literally, everything is on the table. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew coming in strong this Monday morning. I freaking love it. And it's not a true victory Monday, right? Because the 49ers did play yesterday. But man, we sure as hell did lose. And just, man, shoulders a little bit more relaxed. This is episode 1569 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Have to say thank you to our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George 365, and Corey Robbins. They make this happen. And man, I took time over the bye. I took a day off yesterday. Just watched football, went to church with the fam, came home, watched football all day. Watched Landman. I've got two TVs set up in the living room during football season. So I got one TV on Sunday Night Football. We're watching, great TV on the other one. Just had a good day. And so during that time, I was like, I'm curious. How many shows and whatever have we done this season just since the very first game? 72 hour-long episodes or longer of the 49ers Rush Podcast. We've done 52 Patreon breakdowns since week one. And again, if you're just here on the public, whether it's YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you watch and or listen, for almost every single episode, we've done 72 full-length episodes where that's free to everybody. 52 extra breakdowns, film breakdowns up on Patreon. As soon as you sign up, you get access to all of those. The 49ersrush.com, we have everything on there. We've done 7 before the game parties the day before the game. We've done 7 all-inclusive tailgates. So lots of traveling. We still got one more. We're still going to be in Indianapolis, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 5 Zoom hangouts and 3 days off. And man, I ain't going to lie. After yesterday and finally getting another day off, I'm feeling great, man. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. You guys coming in strong. If you guys got some questions, comments, concerns, throw them up in the chat. We'll make sure we do the best that we can to get to those. Look at Bucky. He says, man, the Cardinals gave them everybody hope in the first quarter, then quickly came back to reality. They're just not a good team. They have some pieces, but yeah, just not a good team. And I mean, the Rams are just, I would say the Rams are red hot, but they just got beat by the Carolina Panthers, right? Just a week ago. But yeah, that was not a fair matchup. That offense is just freaking great, man. It really, really is. Wonder why they don't run more screens. Yeah, you see that out there. Yeah, the Cardinals are just bad. Can the Lions do it? And, you know, you start looking at what's ahead for the NFC. It's just, man, cram-packed. And the only team that is really, quote-unquote, ahead of the 49ers, even though they're the 6th seed, it's the Rams. They're the only ones that you have to have additional help on the outside because you're not playing them again, right? You play the Seahawks. So if you beat the Seahawks, you pass them, assuming they went out, you went out. You control that destiny. And again, like the Green Bay Packers, they're in that as well, but they've got some difficult games. And that's it. Every other team, you possess the tiebreaker over. So all you really need is just the Rams to slip up one game. You went out. That's yours. One seed is there for the taking for the 49ers, period. Look at agency. Looking for Dan Campbell and the Lions to go all gas, no breaks in L.A. this weekend. Give them a whole lot of St. Brown, Gibbs, Montgomery. Yeah, they get that win. They get that win. Oh, it is going to be huge. It is going to be just gigantic. And right here, Shane, my buddy. He says, that Tennessee win helps. Just a reminder to go get after it. Yeah, you know, I always get the question every single week. It doesn't matter what the game is. Oh, do you think that this is a trap game? I'm not big on trap games. And whenever you look at the NFC picture, there is one game between the 1 seed and the 7 seed. There's one game difference. That's it. This is like March Madness has begun. There are no more layups. There are no more cupcakes. There are no more traps. Everybody knows what everybody is. And if you want to be there in the playoff race, you got to handle your business. The Tennessee Titans go out and put up 30 points on the Browns. They put up more points than you did a week ago. So, like, Jeffrey Simmons, I would argue, is playing as well as any player in the NFL right now, the defensive tackle for the Titans. Now, are they a good football team? No. Are they coached well? No. But there are some players that are just, man, what did Pollard, their running back, he goes out there, had 25 rush attempts for 161 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Browns. You don't think this defense is going to be ready, going to get up to that challenge? There is no, like, oh, take them lightly. And so, yeah, Shane, I agree with you 100%. Them coming off of a win against that Browns defense, just a reminder to get after it. You got to go get it. Got to go get it. The chat is bumping, man. You guys keeping me honest over here. I love it. Yeah, but we went up despite the Seahawks and Lambs winning too. Yeah, the 49ers are currently in the 6th seed. So if the playoffs started today, which they do not, you would be traveling to the Philadelphia Eagles for that wild card round. That's it. And I'm here to tell you right now, that's not a bad matchup. Do I want to go to Philly? No. Am I going to throw a party in Philly? No. Am I going to fly out to Philly? No, I am not. But that is not an NFL matchup problem for the 49ers. Can the Eagles beat the 49ers? Yeah. Yeah, they can. That is not a bad matchup for the 49ers. And in fact, like, I'm sitting here looking at it, it's like, okay, who is the quote-unquote bad matchup for the 49ers? 1 seed Rams, probably that's the one that's, like, least favorable, but it would be in SoFi. You'd have home field advantage. They'd have to go on a silent snap count. The Rams would, and whenever they pipe in the noise in SoFi, as they always do, and the NFL allows them to do, that's what it is. Like, you've already beat the Rams in SoFi this season. that is a winnable game. Now, were the Rams as hot as they were at that point? You know, whatever. I don't know. You can dive into that, but still the same old sorry-ass Rams. Like, that's not whatever. Green Bay Packers, defense is incredible. Which Jordan Love are you getting? You know, they're 9-3-1. Lambeau, dude, we've won there historically. Historically, they have won there. Eagles, we talked about the Tampa Bay Bucks. We've been to Tampa Bay back-to-back years, split that 1-1. Yeah, you lost there early in the year, but this Bucks team is not like that Bucks team. They have lost a lot of pieces. They're as banged up as the 49ers are. That's not really terrifying. The Seattle Seahawks, man, I'd love to go to Seattle. Dude, I'd love to go to Seattle again. We play against Seattle. If they win the division and they host us in the wild card, I will be there. We will be there throwing parties right next to the stadium. The Bears, not worried. Plus, we get to play them, so we'll get to figure that out. Lions, they have no defense. They have no defense. Offense, incredible. Offense, amazing. They have no defense whatsoever. So you're sitting there and you're looking at the NFC landscape. Dude, the Carolina Panthers, that is a very real possibility. They're 7-6, tied with the Bucks, 7-6 for the NFC South win. And if, you know, you're asking Chapman, what's your prediction or whatever else, I think that there is a very real possibility that the 49ers can win the division. I do. But if I had to guess, I think the 49ers will finish as the number 5 seed. I think they'll have the best record of anybody that doesn't win their division. That's why I think the 49ers go 3-1 down the stretch. I don't know who that loss is going to be. We'll see. They'll be favored in every single game. I think the 49ers get to 12-4, and I think they're the 5 seed. And I think that they're going to be hosted by the winner of the NFC South, whether that's the Carolina Panthers, who I want, or the Tampa Bay Bucks, which I would not be afraid of. Baker's a beast, and they've got a lot of good players. But if you're asking me right now, John, what do you think is going to happen on, you know, December 8th? I think the 49ers get that 5 seed, and I think that they travel to the NFC South 4 seed host. And sign me the hell up. I take that right now. I prefer home. I prefer the 1 seed. Obviously, everybody does. But I think that's what I think. 3-1. I think the Rams probably win the division. And shoot, that ain't a bad thing at all. That ain't a bad thing at all. Let's see here. I'm behind on the chat now. Agency. This season has been a gauntlet, but the 49ers are in position to be either the number 1 seed or a dangerous wild card. Coach of the year for Kyle Shanahan. They're never going to give him that award. They will never. The AP writers hate Kyle Shanahan. He should have been a multi-year award winner already, but now everybody knows he's a great coach. Should have won it in 2019. You took your team from second worst record to the Super Bowl. Didn't win it. Should have won it in 2022 when you made it to the NFC Championship with your third string quarterback. Didn't get it. Why? Because Joe Flacco and, you know, they made the wild card round. Like, really? Anyway, writers, they always favor the Midwest. They always will favor the Midwest. It is a joke. It is a joke. It is a joke. Kyle Shanahan ain't winning this year. They'll give it to somebody in the Midwest. They go to Ben Johnson, probably, who's done a great job. Very deserving. Very deserving. Daboll was not deserving. It turns out Daniel Jones was a decent quarterback. Daboll was the issue. Anyway, he ain't going to get it. Bobo, it sucks for the Colts losing Daniel Jones in December. That does. And now, that favors the 49ers big time. Riley Leonard's banged up too. They expect him to play, but he's got knee issue as well. I was pretty high on Riley Leonard from an NFL draft standpoint. I think I had like a 4th or 5th round on him. And whenever I say like pretty high on him, like I think this is a serviceable backup. And I watched that Colts game. Dude played relatively well. Did he play as well as Daniel Jones has played this year? No. Do I consider the Colts an automatic win now? Also, no. The Colts are a great offensive line, incredible running game with a very, very good complete defense. Now, Charvarius Ward entered concussion protocol again just a while ago. His third time this season. That's terrifying. Hope he's all right. You've got Sauce Gardner. How long he's going to be out? DeForest Buckner's supposed to be coming back. Like, still a great defense. Still a great O-line. Still a great running game. Still going to pose some problems. But, yeah, they took a hit. Let's just be very honest. And now they're on the verge of, you know, Shane Steichen was one of the guys that everybody's like, oh, this guy could be coach of the year, right? And now they're on kind of the playoff bubble, and they just keep kind of, you know, stacking losses. That's the way it goes.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
Shane, yeah, injuries suck, but that indie game just changed massively. You were 2.5-point favorites traveling all the way to Indianapolis, which we will be there for. And now, I'm just looking up the spread right now. You are 2.5-point favorites. Now it's 3 points. So it's moved half a point. And I think it's going to probably move some more. I really, really do. So right now it's at 3 points. So the 49ers being favored on the road Monday night. We'll be out there. We'll be partying at Tom's Watch Bar. I don't have the flyer up yet. Still waiting on the contract for the Monday all-inclusive tailgate. But Indianapolis, we'll be at Tom's Watch Bar watching the Sunday games, hosting our party indoors right across the street from the stadium, having a good time. Get your tickets right now, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com or on TickPick, where, man, just search 49ers Rush on the TickPick app. You'll see it. Pull up. Tickets are up right now. It's cheap as they're going to be. So if you know any Niners fans going to Indianapolis, we got you covered. We'll be bundled, we'll be indoors, and we'll have an all-inclusive premium tailgate as well, which we expect to announce in the next 2 days, just waiting to get numbers signed and all that stuff. Weekends are always hard, but we're going to take care of you. So if you want those tickets, it's as cheap as they're going to be. Go get those right now. James, he says, man, Niners more or less control their own destiny for the number one seed. Just got to have the Rams lose one game. Rams lose one game, 49ers in complete control. Completely. Either way, great job by the coaching staff to get them right where they needed to be, especially, man, with all those injuries. What's up, Trainwreck? Appreciate you, man. Glad that you were here. Oh, the Chiefs game. Did everybody love watching the Chiefs just get, I don't know what you want to call that, but just terrible offense. Travis Kelce bobbling balls, 3 interceptions for Mahomes. Rashee Rice just getting obliterated out there. Like, it was beautiful. Every single second, every single play was just like, yes, more, more. Absolutely loved it. So thank you again, Jose, for the hashtag CC. Do we need the Rams to lose a division game specifically? No, you do not. And so if you look at the Rams, they're 10-3. So the reason why they're the one seed, one, they have the best record, but they're tied with the Seattle Seahawks, who are also 10-3. The difference is the Rams are 3-1 in the division. The Seahawks are 2-2 in the division. That's why the Rams are the one seed, and they own the head-to-head, but they're going to play again. Now, the 49ers, they are 4-1 in their division. So even if the Rams win a division game and go to 4-1, they're 5-3 in conference, which is the next tiebreaker. So if the 49ers win out and the Rams lose any game, the 49ers will win the tiebreaker because the conference wins. The 49ers are 8-2 in conference. The Rams are 5-3. So even if, like, it doesn't matter, any game that the Rams drop, the tiebreaker, because the 49ers won one against the Rams, lost one against the Rams, okay, so head-to-head doesn't matter, then it goes to divisional record, which they would both be 4-1, so then it goes to conference record. The Niners have the amazing advantage there, right? They can't, they're not going to be able to catch the Niners if they win out. So any game the Rams win or lose and the 49ers win out, they would pass that. Now, you want it to be a division loss. Now, the question then turns, okay, well, what about the Seahawks then? Well, if that's the case, well, one, we still play the Seahawks, but even if the Seahawks beat us and then we all three tie, so the Seahawks beat us and we all three tie, we would still win the tiebreaker. One, we'd have the same divisional record if the Rams lost the divisional game. That's when that kind of matters. But then again, you look at the conference, both the Rams and the Seahawks have three conference losses. So, yeah, that's where you kind of get into, man, if the Niners lose that Seahawks game, now you're getting into the fourth tiebreaker, and that goes to strength of victory. Niners will not win that tiebreaker. Strength of victory for the Rams is 500. Strength of victory for the Seahawks is 362. Strength of victory for the 49ers is 385. So if all the 49ers have the same overall record, 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, same overall record, same divisional record, same conference record, then it would go to strength of victory. Niners will not win that. They'd come in second there. Now, I don't think that's ever happened. Last year, the Seattle Seahawks missed out on the playoffs, even though they had 10 wins, right? But they missed out on the playoffs because they were 6-6 for conference play. And that is why they didn't get in. So that's the issue. And so, yeah, they got to 10 wins and they were 6-6 and they lost out, one, because of head-to-head. They lost head-to-head to the Packers, I think, last year. So, you know, those are the differences there. Those tiebreakers are just everything. So no, you do not need the Rams to lose a specific game. They just got to lose any game and the 49ers would pass them because of conference wins, division wins. They'd probably be tied. And yeah, hopefully there's no tiebreakers. You just all lose. They just all lose and then everything's fine. And I believe in this. Yeah. Thank you, Q. The NFC is already in the playoffs. It's crazy, man. I don't ever recall the NFC being really any division. You look at the AFC, you've got two 11-win teams, and then you've got like 8-win teams. Like there's, you know, a 3.5-game gap between the one seed and the seven seed. You get to the NFC, it's one game. It is one game. That is the only difference between bye week, hosting the entire playoffs, and being eliminated. Like, you are right there, and the Lions made that victory, made it even closer because they're sitting there just right there in the wings. Now, the Lions can't really catch the 49ers. They would have to have a better record because the Lions are 5-4 in their conference. 5-4. That's two more losses. So even if the Niners lost the Niners would basically have to lose to both the Bears, and then they would have to lose to the Seahawks for the Lions to catch them. And then you get into, you know, strength of victory and all those things, and they're just hundreds thousandths of a point on the strength of victory away from each other. So I don't see that happening. And that's why you look at the schedule whenever it comes out and you try to figure out this and that and what you have and all that stuff. And again, I talked about dividing the season into quarters. You've handled your business. You've not had a losing quarter this entire season. You divide up into four game chunks and you go through that. So now, man, you just go week by week. Thank you, agency. Says this is the business at the end of the schedule. Focus on this week's opponent. You can't win four games at once. Just focus on the task at hand. Kyle Shanahan and them, they're as good at that as anybody. You look at the December record for Kyle Shanahan, it's elite. You look at the playoff record for Kyle Shanahan, it's elite. Elite. Now, the Titans did a huge favor for the 49ers by going out and putting up 30 on the Browns. That makes the coaching staff look, man, you just got to put on tape. Watch Jeffrey Simmons and what he's doing. Jeffrey Simmons had 10 pressures, 7 tackles, 2 tackle for loss, 3 quarterback hits, 1.5 sack, and a pass deflection in one game. In one game. So, offense, do y'all see what you're playing against? Then you turn on, okay, our defense. You're playing against probably going to be the NFC player of the week in Tony Pollard. 161 rush yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, dude, I don't know what y'all feel or whatever. It's the Titans. Yeah, they got 2 wins. Dude, they got two players that could win player of the week for the NFL. It's going to be easy to get excited about that. So let's jump over now, and I want to go through the quarters that have taken place so far this season for the 49ers. We divide up into 4 chunks. Let's go through that right after this. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, so whenever we look at the 2025 season, you divide it up into 4 quarters, right? Now, in the past, this is easy whenever you had 16 games. Now, it's kind of awkward, and you add that 17th game, so it doesn't divide quite as likely. And so you add that on to wherever your bye week is, which we just finished. So you've got 4 games, 4 games, 5 games, 4 games. That's the way you're dividing the season, right? So the 49ers come out in the first quarter. They win 3 straight. Then drop a weird one to Jacksonville where they had 4 turnovers. It was just Brock Purdy wasn't right. So much was wrong. One possession loss, whatever. But you go 3-1 in the first quarter, and that just set the season up nicely because then it's like, okay, we're ahead of the 8-ball. You're in the win column. You've got a winning record. You kind of keep pace. Then with all the injuries, that's whenever you lost Fred, that's whenever you lost Brock, that's when you lost Nick Bosa, you lost. You go 2-2 in the second quarter, and you were kind of hanging on for dear life. Now, the good news is both those wins were against conference opponents. You beat the Rams in overtime, kind of snuck one away, and then you beat the Falcons, but you lost to the Bucks and you lost to the Texans. I would argue those two losses were not super close. I was at both those games. Those were rough losses. But because you had such a good start, the 3-1 first quarter, all right, cool. We're at 5-3. You could deal with whatever you want to do there. Then you go into the third quarter, and it's just afterburners, man. You go 4-1 on your 5-game stretch. You completely destroy the Giants on the road. Then you get destroyed by the Rams at home. Then you win the Cardinals, Panthers, Browns. And that was the kind of Niners on a 3-game win streak again. And you look at the opponents. Yeah, Cardinals, it's a division opponent on the road. Can't take that for light, but Cardinals not a good football team. Panthers, they're an adequate football team. They're an average football team, right? And then the Browns, not a good football team. But you took advantage, ask the Rams about the Panthers. But because of your first quarter and your third quarter, Now you're just sitting there pretty at 9-4, and it's just, man, you control everything. Yeah, now you got your bye week, 5 days straight rest. Oh, 5 days, no practice. Now you got a bonus practice. What a bonus practice means, we're going to come out, do some light work, some install, go through warm-up, go through stretches, routes on air. Literally just, man, this is like a jog through. Get your body ready for what's to come next. And then you'll probably take tomorrow off as well. And then you're back on normal schedule, right? So as a coach, whenever you have these bye weeks, which in Texas high school football, you would usually have 2 bye weeks a year. We call it the 0 week or whatever else. But yeah, when our players are reporting to school every day, you're going to do something, whether it's lift weights, run, you know, stretching, you know, whatever, get out the lactic acid, just get some jogging in, whatever. You're doing something. But you're getting your body ready for the week of work. So Monday, you get a bonus practice. Tuesday, the players will get off. This is my interpretation of what's happened in the past bye weeks. We've been doing this for 9 years now. I think I'm going to be able to be pretty accurate with this. Wednesday, regular, and then you're back on the normal schedule. So Monday, bonus practice. Tuesday, off. Wednesday, now it's a normal week. Wednesday, hard day. Thursday, hard day. Friday, walkthrough. Saturday, walkthrough game. That is the schedule for this week. And you look at the players that are scheduled to come back, and I think this is huge, probably the biggest news. I don't think it impacts this season at all. Quarterback Curtis Rourke, they activated his practice window. So he's going to get this 21-day practice window. Now, he is not going to be activated. He's not going to. This is... learn, go through. He finally gets to get out there, go through the drills, which he hasn't been allowed to do. He's been on the side field and working with trainers and whatever else. But now, dude, you go through and you actually get to do the drills. You get to run some scout team. You get to do this. You get to do that. This is only a glimpse to get him ready for next year. That's all that this is. I do not expect, and I could be 100% wrong, I do not expect Curtis Rourke's practice window to be opened at all. Or his practice window is open. Be, you know, activated to the active 53. Because what happened is if you do that, well, that's one of your 53 spots. You're going to have to cut somebody. Can't activate him to the practice squad. You would have to cut him. Another team could claim him, then put him on the 53. This is an active redshirt. And the 49ers will be able to control Curtis Rourke's entire... They possess the rights to his contract. And even if the 21-day window ends, you don't activate him, nobody can get him. You don't have to waive him. He reverts back to IR, and it'll work as a full redshirt year. Did the same thing to Juwan Jennings, right? Did the same thing to Kendrick Bourne, right? Where he'll be a restricted free agent instead of an unrestricted free agent. So you get a whole further year on his rookie deal, which is 4 years, but now will be 5 because he won't have to play. He'll never play. He'll never be activated. So he'll fall under that restricted free agent tier. And, you know, you did it with Juwan Jennings. You did Kendrick Bourne. You did it with Jordan Mason. You did it with, you can go on and on and on. It's a Shanahan roster manipulation technique. And you knew this when you drafted Curtis Rourke in the 7th round. You knew this when you drafted him. This was the plan all along. Get him in the building. Let him learn what we do. Let him watch. 3 weeks of practice. Revert back to IR, season's over. PUP technically, NFI technically, because he got injured before he was drafted. It was a football injury, but that counts as an NFI. Figure that one out. So this is just, you're going to get to bank him next year, and then 2026 will be Curtis Rourke's official rookie year, his first year in the NFL, because he didn't vet a year, even though he gets paid this year. So that's the whole idea behind that. So I don't expect Curtis Rourke to return at all. And I could be wrong on that. Watch Shanahan come out today and say something about we want him to come in and compete and blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you right now, it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. I'm scrolling through the message board right now, just on Twitter. Matt Maiocco. Oh, here we go. The 49ers opened the practice window of Curtis Rourke off the NFI list. Good. The plan for him is, here we go. This is exactly what I was saying. The plan for him is to remain on the NFI at the end of the 21-day practice window. Got it. Valuable experience for his future, as well as opportunity for the team to evaluate him. Exactly. So there we go. Look at that. Matt Maiocco showing up in the clutch. I always get worried whenever I put my take out there and I'm like, watch Shanahan come out and say, yeah, we're not going to do that. But anyway, I think we're good. I think we're good there. Now, players also that are available to come back, and probably the most important, Eddie Pinheiro, best kicker in the NFL. Matt Gay's been great, perfect in his time, even hitting bank shots like Eddie P. The kicker position's been awesome. But now you get the best kicker back in the NFL. He's the only perfect kicker on field goals, 22 of 22. No other kicker that has attempted more than 5 field goal attempts is perfect. Not one. He's the best kicker in the NFL. He should be a Pro Bowl kicker. I know he missed time. He missed the first game. Then he missed these two games. Don't care. He's 6 for 6 on 50-yard plus attempts with a 59-yarder in there. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, so Eddie P coming back is huge. I expect Yetur Gross-Matos to come back, and the main reason why I do, anytime you have any positive expectations for Yetur, you're going to be disappointed. But that is because the knee isn't the issue this time. It's a hamstring. The knee has been 5 times he has been deactivated or missed game because of his knee in 2 seasons. Not 5 games, 5 separate times. This is a hamstring issue. So that is why I kind of expect Yetur to come back, and that changes everything. Because now Chris Kucerich can go to his true NASCAR package. If Yetur is back, now you could do your 4 defensive ends out there rushing the passer, which also helps your defensive tackles because now they get to rest and focus on base downs. 3rd and short, still going to have DTs out there, whatever else. But that NASCAR package, which you do probably about 12 to 16 plays a game, you've been doing 3 defensive ends, 1 defensive tackle. If you get back to, Yetur gives you, because his size, he's huge, you can do a true 4 defensive end NASCAR package. That's huge. So Yetur is kind of, I had him number 1, but Eddie P is the best in the at his position. Yetur Gross-Matos is not the best at his position or even close. But whatever, you've had so many stacked injuries at the defensive end position, getting Yetur back, even if for 15 snaps, that is huge. Right here, Aubrey is the best kicker in the NFL, Chapman. I do agree with that, but he ain't perfect. He ain't perfect. And shoot, he just missed kicks last game. He ain't perfect. What Aubrey, if you ask me, like, hey, you got to pick one kicker, I probably would take Aubrey. You could argue the 3-year stretch that he's on might be the greatest kicking whatever ever, literally ever. But he's missed 2 field goals. So Eddie P has missed none. So I'll say that. But yeah, I do agree with you, and that's fine. Disagreements are always good. I would probably, like, if you're asking me, you get to pick your kicker, which I've never drafted kickers, so I wouldn't take them. You get kickers off the street, ask Matt Gay, ask Eddie Pinheiro. But yeah, I do agree with you there. I do think he's better. So Tatum Bethune, not sure he's back this week. I don't think he practices today. I don't think Tatum Bethune practices Wednesday either. I think the 49ers are going to slow play Tatum Bethune to make sure he's 100%. This is the one where I'm kind of 50-50 on. Like, I keep going back. Do I think he practices? I don't think he practices today, or maybe just a light jog through. He might even be listed under limited or whatever. I don't know. And I think it's Kendrick's time, if I want to be honest with you. Curtis Robinson's one of my favorite players on the team for what he does, special teams and off the field. Walter Payton, man of the year, 2 times in a row. Way to go, Curtis. You are a freaking hero. You are a freaking hero. Not a Mike linebacker. Tape hasn't been good back-to-back times. Now, to push back against that, well, Curtis Robinson started 2 games in his NFL career. Neither time did the opposing team score double-digit points. But you watch the tape, man, and it's just, it's not negative play, negative play, negative play. It's hesitation in the run game, not doing the rudimentary, simple things. See space, fill space in the run game. He doesn't have that mindset. He plays like a special teamer. You say the same thing for Luke Gifford. Nothing wrong with being a quality special teamer. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being an elite locker room guy. There's nothing wrong with being a good coverage guy. I don't want Curtis Robinson to start anymore. I want him to be an emergency, break the glass in case of emergency type Mike linebacker, that's your number three guy that starts on every single special teams. That's his career. And there's nothing wrong with that career. But Eric Kendricks should be the starting Mike backer until Tatum Bethune is not only 100%, but he's 100% and practiced, got 2 to 3 practices in at 100%. Like, I don't want Tatum Bethune having limited starting. I don't want that. I want Tatum back when he's 100% after a couple days of being 100%. And yeah, Kendrick's going to be the mic. I believe that. Kendrick's going to be the mic. Dude's three separate teams he's been a captain for. Dude's played for a decade, thousands and thousands of snaps. How many snaps does Eric Kendricks have in his career? I'm sure somebody on here could probably tell me. But, like, you look at what this dude am I even going to build? There we go. Eric Kendricks, he hasn't played this year, and that's part of it. But, dude, you look at – come on, man. Show me what I'm looking for, PFF. Do your job. 9,449 career snaps for Eric Kendricks. 9,449. 49ers. I'm just joking. That don't matter. But this dude's played 9,500 snaps in his career. 9,500. That is the difference. Now, you look at Tatum, right? And I'm not saying I want him to start over Tatum Bethune. Tatum Bethune's played 380 snaps in his career. Not this year. His career, 380 snaps. 4,500, 380. Who do you want in the playoffs? Now, Tatum, tackling machine. You playing against a run-heavy team? I want Tatum. I love Tatum. But I don't think that this move was a move to replace Curtis Robinson. I could be wrong. And I don't know how Eric Kendricks is going to come out and practice. I don't know. Kendrick going to be the mic. Kendrick's going to be the play caller. It's just what it is. Tatum's awesome, and I hope he comes back and fights his way into the lineup. You just can't keep him out. That is awesome. But now, dude, you are putting competition. Oh, iron sharpens iron, baby. Competition at this spot. I will lean the veteran. And you talk about what Eric Kendricks brings to the table, right? This is a coverage beast. This is somebody with 12 interceptions in his career, 48 pass breakups in his career, 20 plus sacks in his career. Dude can play some damn ball. He's an all-around linebacker. That's what he is. Tatum, he's a thumper. He's a mic run stuffer. Coverage, he's getting better. Still not there. Shane, he says, man, Curtis Robinson is undrafted. He's doing what he can. Love C-Rob. Got to go with the vet, though. Vet. Crazy Juice says, if Bethune is 100% healthy, then start him. I'm going to say if he's 100% healthy with back-to-back logged full practices, then start him. That's what I would say. Players don't come back the same from injuries, especially young guys. Y'all remember C.J. West, all world, until he got injured and then came back? Didn't look like C.J. West. Now, C.J. West looks like C.J. West. It took him 6 weeks after that injury. Y'all remember Alfred Collins coming back whenever he first started practicing? And people were like, dude, complete bust because of what you saw in the preseason? And I was like, dude, just came off an injury. He hasn't played football in 2 months. Now look at Alfred Collins. He's the best defensive tackle we have. I would argue Alfred Collins is the best defensive lineman you have on this team that is currently playing. He's that damn good. Coming back from injuries takes time. Tatum Bethune's played 380 snaps in his career. Now he's got to come back from a high ankle sprain, which means he's not at full speed. He is not in conditioning shape. Mike, linebacker for the 49ers, you're playing 70-plus snaps. I want multiple practices, fully healthy, before I see him out there in a game, personally. Bring him back, put him on special teams, give him a drive or two until you are no doubts. It's Tatum Bethune at his best, 3 days in a row, or it's Eric Kendricks for me. Or it's Eric Kendricks for me. That's it. Right here, Jacob, what is the difference between limited and full in practice? What part of practice does a player not participate in? The NFL stipulation for, you have to report this accurately. If you miss any portion of practice at all, it is limited. So if it's routes on air, and it's different for every position. If it's tackling, let's say a player has a hurt shoulder. So you know what? We're going to keep you out of our tackling circuit today. Ah, you're limited. And let's say a player coming off a hamstring. We don't want you doing sprints and stuff. So our conditioning portion or whatever else, you're not going to be out there. Limited. You're not doing routes on air. Limited. You're not doing Pascal. Limited. You're not doing one-on-one. Limited. If you take any rep at all in practice, one, but you don't take them all, limited. It takes skipping a portion of practice, any portion, team, 7-on-7, scale, inside, 1-on-1, doesn't matter. You miss any portion, limited, right? And so, like, you have to report that. Teams get fined. Coaches get fined. You hire coaches that their only job, they're probably not coaches, they're assistants. Every single position group has an assistant, and you log. You literally log. We did this in Texas high school football. How many routes has Xavier run? Like, we used to have to do that. This is a kid that struggled with hamstrings all the time. Freaking all district player. How many routes, how many reps has Xavier done today? We're keeping it under 20. All right, cool. He made it. We're doing 25 tomorrow. All right, cool. We're doing 30. All right, cool. We're doing a snap count. And we have GAs. A lot of times they were students or whatever else, or middle school coaches or whatever. We say, you follow him all practice. You just tally mark the hell out of how many snaps he's gotten today. Like, if you do that at Texas high school football, you're doing that in the NFL, right? So, like, that's where that is. So, if you miss any point, that's where that is. And, dude, I use C.J. West as a reference, just as an example point. C.J. West played some damn good football. I know a lot of attention is going to Alfred Collins. A lot. 99 making some damn plays. 99 is good. This draft was great. Really, really was. And people could get hung up on Nick Martin. That's cool. You can get hung up on the injury of Mikael Williams. That's cool. You can get hung up on Jordan Watkins not getting snaps or Jordan James. That's cool. This draft was a damn home run. If Alfred Collins was the first pick in the first round, you got your value. He's that damn good. If Upton Stout was your second round pick, you've gotten your value. Yeah, there's been ups and downs, so there's going to be more. Like, the Niners draft was good. Good. C.J. West? Dude, if C.J. West was the third round pick, you'd be. If C.J. West was the second round pick with what he put on film the last 2 weeks, I'm sitting there just saying, all right. All right. I ain't mad. You got a lot of quality football players this year and last year. And I know people are, like, upset at Ricky Pearsall, but, man, the tape says chill out. Tape's good. If Ricky Pearsall had 2 touchdowns the last 2 weeks, nobody would be complaining. But the only reason why he didn't get 2 touchdowns the last 2 weeks is Ben Bartsch. Had nothing to do with him. Had nothing to do with the quarterback. But, well, one of the – could have had 3 interceptions or touchdowns, to be honest with you. One of them was that Brock Purdy throw that was intercepted. It was just a bad Brock Purdy throw. And then 2 Ben Bartsch blunders, which now he's on IR and done for the season. I doubt he ever plays for the Niners again. But, like, Ricky's doing his job. So just be patient. Ricky's putting up some good tape. He really, really is. Now, I want to look at where Vegas and everybody else sees the 49ers in light of the NFC and the playoff run and some bets. Now, if you're going to bet, man, it is Christmas time, and my bookie hooks you up. December doesn't have to be the most expensive month of the year if you're betting with MyBookie. They have their 12 days of Christmas is coming soon with daily offers dropping back to back to back to back 12 days in a row all across sports and the casino. And I'm talking bets and gets, profit boosts, free spins, even surprise drops for social and Telegram users. And with December being so packed, you got the NFL, you got college NFL, your college bowl season, college hoops. It's all serving up for opportunities to cash. And if you go to mybookie.ag now, punch in the code 49ers, 49ERS, you get your first bet covered up to $500. Make sure you click that opt-in button. If you go big and miss on the first bet, Use your bet back bonus token and run it back. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I've used this in California. I've used it in Texas. Doesn't matter where you're at. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. And again, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Now, the one player I didn't talk about coming back is Sam Okwuonu, who's, I'm president of the fan club. Freaking love that dude. I've been harping on this dude for 2+ years. He's incredible. I don't think that he comes back this week at all. I don't even think he practices. I hope he does. And again, if you get Sam O and you get Etur back, now, dude, you have depth at the defensive end position. Imagine what that would be. The 49ers haven't said that once this year. That would be huge. And so hopefully he comes back as well. I don't think, if I had to look into my mirror ball and like Chapman, make a decision right now, what you think is going to happen. Again, this means nothing. I think Eddie Pinheiro's back. I think Etur Grossmano's back. I don't think Tatum Bethune will be active this week, and I don't think Sam O will be either. I think you want to see what Eric Kendricks can do out there, especially against, you know, the Titans. You kind of let them come in, and if things are bad, you go back to Curtis Robinson. Tatum Bethune had the time to rest. You get him back out there. But Sam O is a difference maker. Sam O is a starter, right? Like, that dude, he's your most true – he's the Carry Hyder of the 2025 season. He's that damn good. He's so freaking awesome. I love that dude. Now, you look at, okay, the Titans. The 49ers are 12.5 point favorites against the Titans currently. 12.5 points. It probably, I don't think probably. Is that the biggest spread today or for this upcoming week? Let's see here. So 12.5 points. Oh, don't make me refresh. Goodness. I had everything loaded, but like if you wait like 15 minutes, it gets all whatever. Here we go. I'm going to get it. Sorry about that, guys. So 12.5 points. Is that the largest? The Jags are 12-point favorites over the Jets this upcoming week. The Eagles are 12.5 against the Raiders, who are a dumpster fire. Wow. The Seahawks are 12.5-point favorites against the Colts. Man, and the 49ers 12.5-point favorites against the Titans. So you've got, once you get later in the year, what's the Macho Man Randy Savage? Like, the cream rises to the top. Like, sorry for that. That's terrible. But like, that's what it is. And so you start to see the haves and the haves nots. And now with the Colts losing their quarterback and all the other stuff, like, man, that's what it is. So the 49ers, the largest spread, they're tied for that. The biggest favorites of the week heading into this. You're playing against the Titans who have two wins. Now, the 49ers over under on season wins for the year over on MyBookie, 11.5. That means they're expecting them to go 12 wins. That means 3-1 down the stretch. You get to 12 wins. Good gosh. What a season. With these injuries? Goodness. And then, like, so that I was curious because they have a bet to make the playoffs. Just yes or no on all the teams, right? And so different odds. If you put $10 down on the 49ers to make the playoffs, your payoff is 71 cents. You bet $10, you get 70 cents back if they make the playoffs. You see what I'm saying? Like, Vegas sees the Niners is in. One of the biggest discrepancies out there because oh, well, look at that. As I'm on here, now Seattle is 13-point favorites over the Colts. A lot of betting money going in, chasing that market since Daniel Jones been out. So that's huge. Oh, look at this. One of the best humans I've ever met in my entire life, who I consider a great, great friend. What's up, Devin? He says, John just got here, so I'm going to go back at the beginning, but it's great to catch a live show. Appreciate you, brother, all you do, man. Foster parents unite. Devin, his family, best of the best, man. Appreciate you guys. So you look at just the way Vegas sees the 49ers and is just like, they're in. They're in. And I got to agree with them. I really, really do. Let's get to a couple other comments that we had started here. Right here, agency. It's time to get hot and carry that special team spark, offensive momentum, this Young's defense maturing over the year into the postseason. I think the Niners can be hitting all cylinders week 18 and beyond. There's going to be another bump in the road. Now, I want the Niners to go 4-0, get that one seed, and just freaking... That's just... It's weird to even talk about. Like, you know, I talked about, like, how many episodes we've done and all the traveling we've done. This year has just been like a Martin Scorsese final 30 minutes of a movie, right? I feel like I'm watching The Departed. You're seeing all your loved ones just get freaking murdered on screen. But the show goes on. You just keep going. But there's going to be another huge bump in the road. It's not going to be all whatever. Sunshine and rainbows. It's not. If you think that this has a happy ending, you have not been paying attention. But why can't it? Somebody's got to win it. Why not us? Why not us, Monkey Boy? The team that really worries me is the Rams and their 13 personnel. I will say this. The 49ers have adjusted accordingly to 13 personnel. Now, it's different doing that versus the Cardinals and against the Browns as it is against the Rams and Matt Stafford. I get that. Not the same. I would argue, and again, you can go back and watch the breakdowns over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. The 49ers did not correctly align one time to 13 personnel. Not once in that Rams game. Didn't line up to it once. Was not gap sound one time. Was not coverage sound one time. They were wrong. And then you go play the Cardinals, and guess what? First drive of the game, didn't line up to it correctly either. They took advantage of you. Second drive came out, they tried to do it again, finally fixed it. It took a while to get the run game gap integrity. They were not covering the backside C gap at all, ever. And that was a problem. And I would also argue, this is a problem that I have. One of my least favorite games that I probably one of the most fun games I've ever been to, even though the Niners got destroyed, was that Buffalo game. They used extra personnel, right? So they were doing extra linemen, 13 personnel technically, but one of them was an offensive tackle. We stayed in small nickel the entire time under Nick Sorensen. And I was like, dude, what the hell is Robert Saleh doing? He did the same shit that first drive against the Cardinals. And I was like, dude, this guy, how does he not know what to do? Then he corrected it. So like, I was losing my mind in Arizona because I was like, how do you not know how to line up to this? Finally figured it out. Bring down, you either go, you know, bring in the extra safety, which I don't like. I wish you were in traditional 4-3, but then you also have to walk up the safety. So like, I don't care how you do it. Nickel, big nickel, 4-3, don't care, but you got to get somebody down in the line of scrimmage. And it just took them too damn long to figure it out. But now we've seen it for three games and the 49ers have lined up correctly to it in three consecutive games. So I'm a little less concerned about the 13 personnel now to where we were. So that's huge. Logan, appreciate you, man. Heck, I'll give credit to Skymore too. Dude, Skymore, he's awesome. The explosives, it's his job. I hope he gets signed. Give him a 2-3-year deal. Like, that's how good he's been. Still not the best decision maker. Not the highest IQ football guy. Not. You know, he fields. You go back to that opening kickoff. He fields that ball. Tiptoes the sideline. Almost stepped out at the 3-yard line to start the game. Now, it was a great return. The explosives, all that stuff. Then there was a punt return in the third quarter. He didn't do the Peter call where it's a short kick. The winds in that Cleveland stadium were bonkers. I can tell you that. I was freezing my ass off. I didn't know which way the wind was coming from. You look up at the... You know, I was sitting on the sidelines, right? Like on about the 25, 30 yard line. And so you look opposite field post and the flags are flying this way. And then you look at the field goal post to you and the flags are, they're facing each other. Like it's got the swirl effect, right? Like it's weird as hell. So like I got my starter jacket on. I'm trying to protect from the wind because I'm a baby. I don't want my cheeks to get redder than they are. I didn't know which way to turn because the wind's coming from both sides somehow, whatever. There was a punt in the third quarter that was weird and it was short and Skymore runs up and he never gave the Peter call and the ball almost hit Terrell Luter Jr. Not Terrell Luter Jr.'s fault, Skymore's fault. It lands 2 feet next to him. Skymore fields it and gets like 2 to 3 yards out of it, whatever. Nobody talks about it. But those are two beyond questionable judgment calls that both went the way the 49ers wanted them to go. But this is why I say all the time, sometimes the ball has got to bounce your way. If you were in that exact same situation in that punt, and that ball hits that close to Darrell Luter Jr., we saw it in the Super Bowl. I'm going to say 7 out of 10 times, that's going to be a turnover because that ball landed right next to his foot. Sky Moore never cleared everybody out. Darrell Luter's focusing on the punt gunner. He's not looking up at the ball. You're not tracking the ball. You're literally turning and following the punt gunner the whole time, almost like man coverage on the defense. Sky Moore made two very boneheaded decisions that game, neither which cost the Niners. And so now everybody's like, Pro Bowl, Pro Bowl. And I'm cool with that. But if you go back to week one, Sky Moore makes questionable decisions time and time and time and time and time again. The explosives are there. So why do I bring all this up? I love Sky Moore. I want to sign him to a deal. Gotta be smart. Gotta be smart. He is not playing smart. Love the explosives. I want him signed. I want him here for the future. But it's just like, don't be shocked when you get a couple more of these boneheaded decisions from number nine that we filled in punts inside the 5-yard line back-to-back times. And like, I'm just telling you. It's there. And shoot, I hope Sky Moore is here for the long term. I'm just saying, don't be shocked where there's a really stupid decision or a turnover on special teams coming your way because the dude is just making stupid decisions. But he's explosive, and I want him back there. But there's a lot you got to clean up there. Oh, what's up, Kenneth, my man? He says, John, catching a live on the way back from Atlanta to Daytona. What's up? Can you stretch the live for about 5 more hours? Why not? That's simple. That's simple. Yeah, I'll do a 6-hour show. I know some people do those things. I don't know how they do them. One, you don't do solo shows. And some people, yeah, producers and commercials and all that kind of stuff. But, man, dude, I don't talk like this normally. I used to do this whenever I was a teacher. Like, I use teacher coach voice. And for those of you who have met me, which is a lot, which is really, really cool. If I haven't met you yet, I hope I do. One of my favorite things in the world is just getting to meet you guys in person and getting to know you, which I know Ken, I know his family. I don't know. I can't. This is my projection voice. And I've tried doing shows where I don't talk this loud. I lose my voice every single freaking day. By the end of the night, like, my voice is scratchy, scratchy. So I can't do the long shows that everybody else does. Okay, we got to get somebody out. That's okay. Ban user and delete their comments. Thank you guys for my my mods in there. Come on, man. Y'all gotta can't let those people come in here. We ain't let that happen. But anyway, this has been an incredible, and I love Sky Moore, but I'm seeing right here, Dan's really upset. Dude, I watched the film, and my job is to tell you what I see on film. And so I'm just saying there's a lot of very questionable decisions being made by Sky Moore. I love Sky Moore, but that's why that is. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Right here, Big Brick says, Sky has seemingly learned from those boneheaded mistakes early in the season. Maybe it was just too amped and that got the better of him. As long as he stays on the right track. Yes, I want to resign Sky Moore right now. Like, I'm saying even if those do happen, I still want Sky Moore. That's just the way that I see it. I love Sky Moore. Dude's been awesome. He's got over 1,000 all-purpose yards. 1,000 yards. And I go back to this, and, you know, the way the film comes to us broken down, the all-22 and stuff, the 49ers offense, like, you start on the offense's first possession, right? The very first possession of 6 drives started on the correct side of the 50. Against the Browns. 6 drives. You start on the other side of the 50-yard line. So much of that is special teams. So much of that is Sky Moore. Thomas Morstead has a big deal doing with that. But, man, absolutely freaking love it. Absolutely freaking love it. Things are good. So the 49ers looking great after the bye week. That's Tyler's show. Everything is just humming along. Curious to see what players we get back to practice Wednesday. Don't pay too much attention to the practice report today, which is not official. Pay attention to the Wednesday practice report, and limited will mean a lot. If Tatum Bethune is limited on Thursday, I don't think that he'll be playing. My dog is going crazy. I think somebody's at my door. I got to go. You guys are the best. Sorry, Kenneth, it's not 5 more hours. But the Niners, control of their own destiny, last quarter of the season. Let's get it. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.